2 minutes and 13 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of January. January. In the year of our Lord, 2007. I'm just trying to mimic the flat back from yesterday because it was so popular. I'm going to say everything twice today. I'm just going to create my own echoing canyon effects.
You need to stop.
Hello.
Because I can see that not ending.
All right. Live from the plushly appointed and overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. Draw near and pay heed that ye might be amused. If you'd like to join us today telephonically, it's 503-733-2975. Doing the show for a goddamn year. Phone number has never changed. It's been the same. And now, all of a sudden, do you have the post-it notes? All of a sudden, I can't remember the telephone number because it's not written down on a post-it note 5 inches in front of my face. I'm sorry. I'm going to get my emotions under control and we're going to move forward. Hold on a second. 503-733-2970. All right, there we go. All right, now we're
ready.
You
can hang on to those.
Thank you. All right. If you'd like to engage with us on the phone today, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your what have you. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. That is how we're going to roll today. Today is our Tuesday, and welcome to day 12 and day 2 in our new studio. We are in the brand new studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio over here at the First Avenue building, just a stone's throw from the creation, the genesis, the nucleus, the nerve center of this program 9 long years ago. So here we are, and thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email it's rick@rickemerson.com. All right, so we are going to eschew, I believe, the Aaron Geek in the City opening today. Because I just felt bad, because like the last 3, 4, 5, 8, 9, 10 days, the guy would just be shivering in a parking garage somewhere. We would never get to him. He'd be sitting there like 15 minutes waiting for me to pick up the phone. Meanwhile, the boss is wandering around, wondering where the big swarthy guy went to. And I don't want to be responsible for yet another person getting fired, because there's too many firings on my head already. I can't take the pressure. In the first 3 years of this program, this is completely true. In the first 3 years of this program, there were 4 different people who were either fired, suspended, or reprimanded because of things this program did. Do you remember that guy? Let me ask you this. Does anybody here, and by here I mean everywhere, does anybody remember the guy who made us the big blue dildo?
Yes.
Were you here when the big blue Smurf dildo?
No, that was pre me being on the show. But
Did you see it though? Because I kept it. I kept it around as sort of a totem.
It was at your desk with the cremation tray.
Yes. Yes, it was. We had this guy. He worked at a rubber factory somewhere, and I mean a rubber factory like they made rubbers. I mean, like, it was a factory where they made items out of industrial-grade rubber. And he was on the phone one day, and he was just calling about this or that, things, bits, pieces, observations, ruminations. And I said, and I do that thing I always do. And this is a thing that I've had to learn to do very carefully, where I say, well, what kind of work do you do? That has replaced, where are you working? I used to just say, where are you working? And sometimes people didn't want to say it, but they felt sort of awkward about it. They felt compelled to tell me. And so they would go, well, they're working at aggregated software systems, and like the next thing you know, there's some guy from human resources down there, and all the crap is being packed up into a box. And I only had to hear about 2 or 3 of those, because apparently this program contains what is referred to in HR circles as objectionable content. So I've learned to say instead, what kind of work do you do? And then it's up to them whether they want to say the company or not. Anyway, so this guy worked at some industrial rubber company, and he said, I can make you something if you want. And I just said, can you make me a huge blue dildo? And I don't know why that was the thing that came to mind. I don't know why, of all the things on God's green earth, the guy could have manufactured for me. And so he did. He brought it down. It was like 4 feet long. It was like a Louisville slugger. And anatomically, it was correct. And I don't really know that anything is 4 feet long is going to be anatomically correct unless you whiz next to a nuclear reactor for most of your life. I'm just saying, though, that it was big, and it was generously proportioned. Anyway, and so I had it sitting. Boy, that was a bygone time, too, that I just had that thing sitting on top of my desk for like a year. I don't really know that that would fly in today's workplace. Anyway,
it's been pretty laid back here.
Well, I had this whole picture on the website of like the listener bringing in the big rubber dildo and us like all gathered around it, like looking at the camera, giving the big thumbs up and like with his name and then the name of the company. And he was on the air. He would call back repeatedly and identify himself as the guy from Conglomerated, you know, Rubber Manufacturing Incorporated, who made the dildo. And then one day he said that at the wrong time, wrong guy, was walking by the wrong radio in the wrong building, and now he's at home eating a lot of government cheese. So.
How you doing?
I don't know why I was telling that story.
I think you feel the need to talk about big blue dildos.
Thank you. Well, I don't like to come up there. I like to backdoor those conversations. It's 503. Oh, so Aaron. So Aaron will not be joining us today because I just felt bad that he was... every day he was like 20 minutes closer to death, and we would never actually get to him. And then he was downstairs. It's all cold outside. So here's the deal: is that mailman Chris, who's the official stenographer of the Rick Emerson Radio program, Chris will be out there, and he will be making note of the things that we are guaranteeing today. And then he will call in at the end of the program. We'll find out what I got to, what I didn't get to, and of course, I will owe, as always, one push-up to the Rick Emerson Collective for each item not gotten to. Here's what we got today. Lisa Goddard is going to be joining us from CNN Radio Washington. We're going to talk about the... I'm just going to find a way to talk about Hillary Clinton, because that's kind of what I do every day. She had something else there. There was something else that was... I believe there's this phrase that they use in comedic circles called, will it play in Peoria? And when they say, will it play in Peoria, that just means, will the common folk, the middle ground, the salt of the earth, the common clay of the New West, will they understand or grok your humor? George W. Bush, I believe, is actually in the literal Peoria today. So we'll talk to Lisa Goddard about that and about Barack Obama. We've also got Ed McCarthy coming up, who will talk about Microsoft Windows Vista, which I guess is some new... I guess it's a new operating system, or it's a new thing that replaces it. It replaces some operating system I don't even have, because I'm still operating on Windows 98 at my house because I'm a cheap bastard, and if I have to pay for it, it's just not going to get installed. So I'm really still operating on like a VIC 20 back at my house, but apparently there's some software coming out that everybody needs, so he's going to talk about that. Oh, and Brandy killed a guy. Not Brandy Dennis's wife. Not Brandy from singles.net, who apparently wants to meet me because she heard, quote, I'm a hot ticket. But Brandy, the R&B so-called star, she apparently killed somebody.
10 years ago?
Well, then there was the story we had last week, right? Where she fell, she rolled down a hill a month ago or two months ago?
I remember her from like seventh grade, I think.
Didn't she have a TV? Is that Moesha?
She was on Moesha. She was Moesha.
You know, Clyde's got a little thing for her. Clyde's got the... Is she legal? She was legal then when she did Moesha, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's like my age now.
Okay, but when she did that program, when she did Moesha, was she a full-grown woman?
You know, I don't have a lot of knowledge.
It doesn't really matter, because I'm not the one who was into her. It didn't really... If I had to pick Clyde as being a deviant, I guess I can still sleep. It wasn't me. Let's see. And we will have another edition of Scotty J. with a Suburban Perspective. We'll talk about the lowest approval rating since Watergate. A story which contains the phrase, ow, my sack. And we will ask the magical question, is Rick still crazy? It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We are joined today, and we have a special surprise coming up. We have a little revelation coming up for you here in just a few minutes. You want to be listening for that. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who joins us today in day number two in the brand new Rick Emerson Studios. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you feeling bright on in Bushy-Dale? Are you happy to be here?
I sure am, Rick Emerson. How about yourself? How are you feeling? A little exposed, a little vulnerable? Does my microphone sound weird today?
It's because of all this space. I think it's your voice. You sure you're not retaining water?
No, I have a cold.
All right. Okay.
What was that? Are you retaining water?
I'm not retaining anything.
Are you sure? You look a little bloated.
Rick Emerson is fine. I'm not bloated. I am bloated. I am probably bloated because I'm a... Here's the thing. Should we just deviate the show right now and start talking about my ongoing mental breakdown?
You're already deviated. You're not going to be able to focus for a couple hours because it's all different and you get weird whenever something's thrown around.
That's the thing. I mean, this is like... And how do I put this? God love the engineers. I love them so much. I really do. And I just really... If I weren't so deathly afraid of physical contact and intimacy... privacy in every way. If I wasn't afraid of other people, and if I wasn't terrified of any sort of contact with other human beings, I would just give the engineers just big man hugs like you wouldn't even believe, because they are just... This will probably happen with decreasing frequency as we go on throughout the week. There's going to be still some of it today. This studio, because the studio looks a lot better today. Meaning yesterday there was a lot of wiring hanging around, and there's guys coming in during the break and trying to fix stuff, and just sort of a lot of, as I always say, a lot of sort of exposed ductwork, both literal and figurative. But the studio looks a lot better today. I'm feeling a little more in the zone. I think yesterday was just such a cluster F on our end. Not technically speaking, for most of it, except for the phones. Phones were a little wacky. But, man, and it's just
not by any fault of the engineers. But yesterday was...
Well, the engineers are living gods. They really are just fantastic human beings, and they have just done so much, and they've made the studio fantastic, but it's me. It is, you know, it's like in the relationship when the guy goes, "Baby, it's not you, it's me." Well, that always means it's you. When somebody says it's not you, it's me, what they really mean is it is you. But I don't really care. I just want to get out of this relationship, so I'm going to say whatever I can to pull the ripcord as fast as possible. And so I'm just willing to shoulder the blame if it gets me and my Allman Brothers records out the door fast. So you just say that. I really do mean this when I say it's not the engineers, it's not the studio, it is me. I adjust poorly to change. I don't deal well with things that are different. I don't deal well with things that have been either altered in any way. And so we're in here and we're in a new place. And even something dumb like the lighting being different. The lighting is ever so slightly different than it is in our old studio. And the headphones sound a little strange to my ears. And so I let it throw me for about the first 2.5 hours of the program yesterday. But by around 1:30, I felt like we were really cooking with gas or whatever it is they say. What is it they say you're cooking with? Now you're cooking with something.
I don't cook.
Fire? Whatever. You're cooking with whatever it is that you cook with.
So how did your...
Shut up! I'm sorry. Why didn't you finish that statement?
How did your meeting go last night?
What meeting are you talking about, Sarah?
Meeting with your special friends.
Why don't we clarify right now what that means so that someone doesn't get the wrong idea?
With your big black man?
Why don't we clarify further what that means so that many people don't get an incredibly wrong idea?
Oh, you're shrink.
Why don't you shut up? So this is what I was going to say.
I can always tell you're always in this mood.
What mood?
In your crazy mood.
I'm not in a crazy mood.
No, the next day, every time you have to go in and show your vulnerabilities and, you know, talk about your feelings and stuff, I always get the backlash the next day.
So you're not getting a backlash at all. I'm just trying desperately to cling on to the edge of what little control I have over my emotional sensibilities.
Was there some sort of breakthrough last night?
Don't talk about it. Anyway, before we go any further, I'm just going to say this. And this is no knock on the engineers, so I'm just saying this right now, that I really don't want the engineers to take this the wrong way. Because I do mean what I'm about to say. It really is no one else but me. This is all in my own head, and I'm fully aware of that fact. Not that I am complaining. You know that I'm not complaining. You know I love this new studio. I've been going on and on and on about it all day yesterday. Already today I've been going on about it. I'm just saying that in many ways, this is the worst possible week this could possibly have happened. Because it's just one more big crazy log on the Rick Insanity fire. So.
What do you think even started this? You were totally fine like a month ago.
I know.
Was it the holidays?
I don't know. Anyway, so I move on now.
Maybe that's for week three.
For week three. God, you have no idea. I mean, just, never mind. Anyway, and this is the other thing, because we'll talk more about it anyway. So there's Sarah, who seems relatively fine.
Yeah, I'm
relatively fine. Here's how grumpy and crazy I am right now. Can I reveal? Well, so it's nature's special time, apparently. But... the evidence
is... It is not.
You just told me last night it was nature's special time.
No,
you said that on the phone to me.
It's pre-nature's special time.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, I didn't realize why I was being such a bitch. Like, I was everywhere I was going yesterday. Oh, yeah. People were driving too slow. They were walking too fast. They were being too loud. I'm like, what's wrong with everyone? And then I had to turn around to Rick Emerson, and I had to look. Maybe the problem is me. Maybe it's not with everybody else.
You know, when you point that finger, there's four fingers pointing back, or five, or however many as you have.
Every single person in the vicinity of me couldn't be possibly as annoying as I was feeling.
Well,
so I'm like, maybe I am the annoying.
I would take a close look around this building before you make that assessment one way or the other. And then, God, How do I put this so it doesn't sound like a complaint? That's going to be my constant preamble today. How do I put this so it doesn't make me sound like I'm an a-hole? And then the people from the Marconi show came in and hugged us.
Oh, that was so sweet.
It was, but I just...
I've never met Marconi.
I was still not prepared for it.
That was a little... I was a little awkward to meet him. Well, I'd never met him because we've, you know, been talking about him for a long time, but I've never seen him.
Yes, we have. We worked down the hall. I worked 15 feet from that guy, from Marconi. When we were at Entercom, I worked 15 feet from that guy for years. On a couple years, I think, at least. I never met him. Not once. I've worked now for CBS. We all have for about a year. He works here, too. Yesterday, after 3.5 years of working at the same company as that guy in one form or another, where our studio is like 5 feet from his. Yesterday was the first day I ever met him. So the whole crew of the Marconi show, they came in and they gave us a bottle of champagne, and then they hugged us, which I was just not expecting. And I don't mean to say, I'm not trying to sound cranky. I did this. Did I appreciate the gesture? I really do. Because it was like,
I thought it was pretty cool. That was the most welcoming, you know, we moved to a new place and they came in and actually told us welcome to the building.
It was fine.
Brought us alcohol.
No, because it was Christine Levine and then Big Jim, who's, you know, the other guy on the show, and then Marconi, you know, he gives me the handshake. I'm like, all right, I'm a man. We'll shake hands. That's fine. We're men. This is because he'd already hugged you. And Tim has, man, let's just talk about Tim for a second. Tim has this fantastic thing that he's learned to do. Tim has the most amazing hug deflector that I've ever seen. Here's the deal, I've studied Tim. I've studied Tim, and I've learned finally how he does this. When you go to hug Tim Riley, here's what happens. You reach in. Here comes your hand. Because a lot of guys, it's a two-step, right? Guys will do the handshake, because this is what Marconi did. He did the man handshake with me, and I'm like, yeah, all right, we're men. We're going to shake hands, because that's what men do. We're not going to touch. We're not going to grind. We're not going to, we're not going to do anything lascivious. Right. Well, no, because men are all about establishing their masculinity. They're like, we're going to shake hands and show exactly how heterosexual we are. And so I shake hands, but then what happens? Everybody knows. He grabs the hand, and then he does the reel in. You know what I mean? Like you're reeling in a marlin. Like, we shake hands. And as soon as my hand is in Marconi's hand, what does he do? He just reels it in like he's Quint right there on the back of the orca. And he starts reeling me, and I'm like, oh, no! Like I'm caught in the Marconi tractor beam. So he pulls me in, and then he does the man hug, which is where, like, you touch shoulders, and then, like, you hit the ball.
What's wrong with the man hug?
I just don't... I
cannot
wasn't
believe that they
it.
Came over here, and they were so nice.
I'm not complaining.
And they brought us alcohol.
I'm not complaining.
And you're sitting here bitching about the fact that they gave you a man hug.
I'm not complaining about it.
I'm just noting
that it made me uncomfortable.
Why don't you note that the fact that it was very nice of them to welcome
I have noted that repeatedly. I said it at the very top. I said it was very nice. They gave us champagne. They were great. They seemed very warm and welcoming. He sent out a very nice email to the building about us coming in. I'm just saying I wasn't prepared for a hug. But let me just further make this point. So here's the thing that Tim has learned to do. Tim has learned this amazing hug deflection. I have seen people try to do either the man hug or the, like, women will sometimes try to do the full-on hug with him. Like, we're going to miss you when you leave the coin tower. Here's the thing. You go in. You grab Tim's hand. Here's what happens. Somebody grabs his hand, and they're shaking the hand. And if he suspects that the handshake is going to turn into a hug, if Mr. Handshake becomes Mr. Embrace, when you shake Tim's hand, he immediately drops his other arm down behind his back, and he turns profile to you. So it is like physically impossible to hug him. I mean, he positions his body spatially in such a way that it becomes impossible to hug him. It's fantastic. I got to learn how to do it. So that's going to be my goal for this year, is to learn how to deflect any and all hugs that anyone ever may try to give me. The champagne was nice, though. I don't remember what I was talking about.
Yeah, if they're listening, this isn't me.
What did I say? Do I need to say it again? It was very nice. They were real. It's not them. It's me. It's not you. It's me. It's all me. We're joined today in the newsroom by the one and only... Wait, hold on. Can you drop the mono bit for just a second? We'll do this the right way, ladies and gentlemen. In the newsroom for Tim Riley today... Scotty J, from the suburbs to your ears. He's working on the following stories for your edification today. Scotty?
Well, good morning.
Hello.
And Rick, I just want to say thank you for taking one for the team.
It wasn't my choice.
We appreciate the alcohol.
What do you think? Oh, with Marconi?
Yeah.
No, they were great. No. I want to say that right now because Sarah is implying that I'm sounding, that I'm trying to be jerky about it. I'm not. I'm saying they were really great. They were nice. They were cordial. It didn't seem forced. It didn't seem fake. Because a lot of people in radio are like that. You meet, a lot of radio people. And we've all met people in radio like that. Hey, I'm Rick.
Hey, guy. I'm JP. How's it going?
What?
Hey, good to have you in the building, buddy.
All right, hey, keep a stiff upper lip. Whack. And then they hit you on the shoulder, and you're like, who is that guy? So, no, they seem very cool, and whatever, and they gave us booze. I'm saying it's my defect that they try to hug, and immediately I run away.
I'm afraid to love.
Anywho.
Could it be that the shrink has some techniques for deflecting man hugs? Maybe you can work on that on week 3?
Maybe.
Maybe the shrink can tell me how to avoid people altogether. Maybe the shrink can just...
No, maybe he needs to do the opposite, Rick. Maybe he needs to teach you how to hug and how to love.
Today, very special Rick Emerson. Rick Emerson learns to hug.
That's awesome.
All right.
Oh, we're totally doing
Scotty J is working on the following stories for your edification.
Well, K-Fed talks about his Super Bowl commercial. U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney has admitted that the U.S. military and CIA have been spying on the financial dealings of Americans.
Your vice president.
A New Zealand man set himself on fire in a city of Auckland on Sunday morning. Stay tuned for what he did next. Little teaser.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. I want to let you know, by the way, that it's... I did not... You were Tim's choice. I'll put it that way. You were Tim's choice to come in and do the news today. Tim looked, sounded, acted... And, Tim, of course, is a trooper, like we all are. Tim would be in today if he could. But we sent Tim home early, about 2:45, 2:50 last night. We're like, you got to get out of here, man, because he just seemed... He was, hello, Tim Riley. And he called me. He sent me this email. And I am taking lots of NyQuil. I will let you know tomorrow morning if I am able to... To execute the news for you. He called me this morning at like 7 o'clock. He's like, hello, I don't have any voice. I will not be in today. Please be having Scotty J do the news. I regret nothing. He was like a World War I veteran on his deathbed.
I could just tell yesterday at the end of the show he wasn't going to make it.
He was hosed. Yeah, well, and that's always, the second day is always the worst. Third day, you start to turn the corner. The second day is always the worst with that throat thing we've all had. We call it that CBS death flu. I think it's going around the whole
city. I had it last Monday, and then I'd take off last Tuesday because of it.
Yeah, I had it back in early December, and then I had the stomach unpleasantness, too. So anyway, so Scotty J is in the newsroom today, and so forth. All right, well, anyway. So it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. So we will talk to Lisa Goddard here in a skosh later on. Dennis Pitsenbarger is going to be in the studio with us as well, which is fantastic. He's right upstairs now. He actually works in this building. So Dennis is he lurks directly above us. In fact, I think directly above this studio. So he'll be here later on. We'll try to do that top five today too. We'll do Scotty J's top five musical acts of all time, which we tried to do yesterday, but the files didn't want to transfer over. So we will do that today. If you call in today, you will hear a different voice answering the phones. Our good friend Kirk Myers is endeavoring to screen the call today. So if you call in today, you will hear not the voice of Scotty J. So if you've ever been to... So I should make this observation right now. If you've ever wanted to make an observation about Scotty J, if you wanted to talk about Scotty J, ask Scotty J a question, this is your chance to do it and not have the awkwardness of having Scotty J himself screen the call, which will then be about Scotty J. You no longer have to lie to him to get through. We will do the suburban perspective with Scotty J later on. And the reason we're going to do that is because for the first time, we'll actually be able to take calls during the suburban perspective that are screened so that the people can ask you questions. All right, 503-733-2970. Let's take, let's go to line, Kirk, let's go to line one here on hug deflecting. Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program.
I had a second way, a new way to deflect a hug or mm-hmm. to prevent a hug.
You have a hug deflecting technique.
Yes. Now, a fellow handshakes you, even if you don't necessarily see the real incoming, you just simply place your other hand, say your left hand if you're right-handed, on top of the already established handshake.
You do the Clinton. You do the double. You do the double. Like, I'm really glad to meet you, and you are shaking one of their hands with both of yours, and then your body is positioned so that they can't get in close enough to hug.
Right. You do the kind of hand sandwich on top of the handshake with the off hand. You got those two arms in front of your torso.
It's like a great weight has just been lifted off my shoulders. Oh, I can't even tell you.
Have a great day, Rick.
Thank you, sir. I had to pay him.
There you go.
That's pretty impressive.
Seriously, what the hell does that shrink have to give me that this guy does?
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Luke in Australia just found Brian Blank's MySpace page.
I have Brian Blank's MySpace page from CNN. I thought I sent that to you.
No.
No, I have that all. I had that a long time.
I haven't checked my email in a while.
That's not very interesting. There's really nothing.
He's a good-looking man.
Yeah, you've said.
Well, I just saw that one fuzzy picture of him.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We should probably break here. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard from The Hill, Scotty J, who will be at the Ministry of Truth today. Later on, Dennis Pitzenbarger, the top five, the Suburban Perspective, Jim Roop, and Ed McCarthy. Ladies and gentlemen, from the brand new and goddamn magnificent studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this is the Rick Emmett Radio Show. That's deceptive, though.
How so?
I love this microphone.
I'm still getting used to mine. I feel like I'm not hitting it in the right spot.
Is that what you,
No, I had a different one.
Oh, you had the SM7 before.
I had the one that Tim
had. The one that Scotty is on that is Tim's. No, now you have the Electro Voice RE20.
I'm definitely not used to it.
It gives your voice a new lustrous crispness to it. All right. No, microphones all do have, they all do have a sweet spot, though. And so forth. Not unlike a woman. It's fine. I just had to say that to creep you out. Just think of it.
Oh, it works.
Think of it like that, Sarah. When you're speaking to the microphone, just imagine you're looking for the sweet spot. Yeah. I'm just trying to see how awkward I can possibly make the microphone for you. And speaking of women and microphones, Lisa Goddard gets like 100 extra points for talking about the Electro Voice RE27 yesterday. And then it's just the damnable misery that the phone was all over driven yesterday. So blah, 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 blah. And then we weren't able to really get as much as we wanted to get through the. And she made that G.I. Joe reference as well. Oh, speaking of which, is she here? Hold on. Lisa Goddard, okay.
She was supposed to call.
She's on the old number. Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, fashionably attired with a head full of lethal observations, wit, wisdom, and temper, Lisa Goddard. Hello, Lisa. How you doing?
Hello. I'm good. You know, I called the new number, and I could swear I woke somebody up. I think I got the wrong number. Or somebody's, you know, a little tired after breakfast.
It is always possible.
Are you sure you gave me the right number, Rick?
I just cut and pasted the number that the engineers gave to me. I cut and pasted it into an email, which I sent to you. So, I guess, we tested it this morning.
We did. All right, I'm not sure.
We tested it here in the store. Well, let's not worry about it. At the moment, we'll just plunge on forward. Well, thank you for using the backup number. We are in this new studio where things are about 98% accurate right now. Beyond
that's great.
That. Regrettably, and I was lamenting this all day yesterday, I was just flagellating myself about yesterday's program in so many ways because your phone was a little, and it was totally not on your end. It wasn't you, Lisa, it was me. The phone system was a little overdriven, and so you just were not sounding as crisp and clear as you ideally might have. And so I don't really feel that the audience was able to fully appreciate the fact that you made a He-Man reference, you spotted a G.I. Joe catchphrase, and then you had an enlightened discussion about the relative vocal natures of the Electro Voice RE20 and RE27, which is fantastic on every level.
I know. It's downhill from here. I mean, I don't know if I can top that.
Yes, never call it again. We peaked.
That's it.
You hear this phrase in comedy a lot where they say, well, is it going to play in Peoria? Which is like where they test something or they wonder whether something will work in the heartland. Now, President Bush is actually in the actual Peoria today, right?
He is in the actual Peoria. That's right.
And so
I'm talking about the economy, trying to, you know, this is the deal. Really, it depends on how you look at it. And the president really likes to look at, there are some fantastic figures about this economy. It really is turning ahead. We have incredibly low, historically low unemployment. We are growing despite some difficulties, especially with our trade deficit. Our growth is pretty strong. But, you know, then you get the other side. You get Democrats like Jim Webb, who talked after the State of the Nation, State of the Union, who said, the fact is that we've got incredible disparity, and there are tons of people out there that don't feel it. So every time that Bush says, hey, guys, the economy's great, you know, there are French peasants out there that, you know, have got the tomatoes in their hands and are ready to throw.
You know, it's funny. They talk about the number of jobs created in the country so far, and it's funny that I don't know, my usual, whenever they talk about the number of jobs created in the new economy, I always... The thought that immediately comes to mind is, you know, yeah, there are jobs that I know people that have to get three of those jobs to try to pay their mortgage or to try to pay their rent every month. So,
Well, you know, they're debating again minimum wage on the Senate floor today, and I think they may have a vote this week. They may finish that up this week. It's not clear. But Ted Kennedy said something this morning that was great. He said, you know, each and every senator made, I think, upwards of $3,800 this week, this past week, as part of their pay. And it takes someone on the minimum wage 4 months to make that much.
That's because they're just not working hard enough, Lisa. They've got to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
I need to get better suits.
Is it me, or is Ted Kennedy's head turning into a perfect square? It's his head is becoming, it's just becoming a big, fleshy, gelatinous cube.
You know, he's one of those senators. There's a couple of them. Him, Arlen Specter is another one. Oh, they get out on the floor, or they're in their committee hearing, and, you know, and they really command attention. They are so articulate. They really powerful speakers. And then every time I go to interview them, I have the hardest time, because they can't hear you very well, so they get really frustrated, especially Arlen Specter. I just have terrible luck with him. He's like, what? What is what? You know, he just kind of walks away really angry that he can't hear me. But then when they do hear you, especially Ted Kennedy, he really seems so much more fragile one-on-one. You know, on the floor of the House, he does. He looks like he's got a whole bunch of grits up in there somewhere. And when you talk to him in person, he really does seem a little shaky on his feet, little more feeble. It's really fascinating difference.
Yeah, no, Ted Kennedy doesn't strike me at all as a guy who would have a reason to be shaky on his feet. I can't possibly.
No, not at all.
I know you're kind of short on time, but I want to ask you this. This is from the CNN prep sheet here, which says that the full Senate Judiciary Committee is going to be holding and then we hear about this all the time, which is the reason I'm asking about it. This story seems to be building and sort of ramping up, sort of underneath, just bubbling under, as they say in the record industry, is going to be holding a hearing on Congress's constitutional power to end a war. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because it does seem like storm clouds seem like they're kind of gathering for some big face-off between the president and Congress about Iraq. And it seems like at some point there is going to be this sort of irresistible force, immovable object battle between the two of them about what direction we're going to take over there.
It's really possible. I think Congress is still figuring out exactly how far it wants to go, how far it can easily go without, as you say, bringing this big constitutional battle to the fore. And that's why Russ Feingold, for one of the more liberal members of the Senate for sure, was actually running this hearing this morning on trying Congress's war powers. And they had some diverse opinions, but Democrats running the thing. So the opinion did sway more to their side from the experts that they brought in today, saying that Congress does have a responsibility to have oversight on how a war is run. But, you know, it's just not that simple, because the president is the one who makes all the command decisions. That's clear. So then how does Congress get involved? I think you're right. I think the two sides are coming closer and closer, but you wonder if they're going to end up being on different train tracks, or if there is going to be a head-on collision.
Well, and my only observation on that would be that I would think that, politically speaking, and in terms of the public perception of these guys, that Congress ought to realize that they have nothing to lose by forcing a huge confrontation. I mean, even if they end up being defeated or not getting their way, and they can't really enact any real change in Iraq, sitting around is going to have exactly the same result, and they're not going to gain any political capital. The American people like to see folks who stand up and who put up a good fight and have a little steel in their spine, even if they end up being defeated in the end. And by just sitting around...
That's why George Bush did so well, that's
true. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it doesn't matter how egregiously incorrect your decision process, decision-making process may be, as long as you just sort of stand up. So I think that, I mean, if they want to gain any political capital at all, they just got to, like, dig in and take out the claws, man. That's the way they go.
But the Democrats just aren't known as the fighting kind, you know, and I think that I think, first of all, it's not clear that they are altogether comfortable in how to do it, and then second of all, they really are worried that what people accept from Republicans, they wouldn't accept from them, and that Democrats would be looked upon as sort of undermining the country and betraying the president, so to speak, making the country look more divided than it is, you know, causing a separate battle at home while we've got this war overseas. So I think they are worried about losing a lot of points, whether they would or not for real, it's hard to say, but remember, Washington, in addition to being on the crazy East Coast over here, is under the Mason-Dixon line, and the South has a lot of influence. That's where the Democrats want to score some big points, so it doesn't surprise me that they're walking a careful line here.
No, it's true, and the Democrats are an entire party, as I noted. They're just beta males who have nothing remotely resembling an aggressive bone in their body. It's sort of like how the NBA, sometimes they'll reach outside the country and they'll get some guy from Czechoslovakia or whatever to come over and play. The Congress, the Democrats ought to just be able to get pinch players. You know, there ought to be pinch congressmen that they can bring over from some country where they know how to get things done. You know, they bring somebody, some politicians over from Ireland where they really know how to put up a fight for something. All right.
I think we could have a draft.
Totally, exactly. You tell them Rick Emerson is willing to pitch in if they ever need it. All right, Lisa Goddard, I know you got to go. Enjoy the rest of your Washington afternoon. We will have speaks with you, as the British say, in the very near future.
All right, I'll miss the old number, but I'll try the new one again tomorrow.
All right, and if you wake up the same person again, you tell them that Rick Emerson says hi and puts on a damn fine radio program.
I will.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. All right.
Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lisa Goddard, senior radio correspondent on the Hill. All right, fantastic. Well, I don't know what number she was calling. I copied
it. Yeah, just try calling it again, and it works.
So, can we blame it on somebody seen Ink? Who was Laura back?
No, it's a new girl named Rachel. I'll call her at the break.
When was the last time Laura was at, this is Laura, the guest booker?
Well, they said she was taking her sabbatical or whatever that is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Was this like a maternity sabbatical, or was it like she's going off the finders? She's going to a sweat lodge sabbatical.
There's something in CNN's policy, how I guess if you work there for a certain number of years, then like every few months you get a certain amount of time off.
I wonder if that's just what they told her. No, it's, but I don't want to leave! No, it's CNN, no, get out. It's CNN policy. I'm sorry, you'll have to leave for 14 months. I'm sorry, my hands are tied, Laura. We don't want you to, okay! And they're just hustling her on out the back door. Alright, well, whatever. In any event, later on we got the CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop going to be joining us about Brandy, who killed somebody last year and whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's really just so we can talk to him and he can just make cheap jokes about the celebrity legs. Ed McCarthy's going to join us, talk about apparently a bunch of fools were standing outside. Who waits outside? How lame can you possibly be that you're waiting outside a store at midnight to buy a Microsoft operating system? You can't even shoot anything with that. It doesn't make any sense. I understand you're waiting outside for something that's exciting or entertaining or amusing, but I think we've really passed the point in American culture when a new Microsoft operating system is really caused to be waiting outside a Best Buy in a pup tent. It doesn't make any sense.
Have you ever waited outside for something?
I have. I waited outside.
You waited for Harry Potter, didn't you?
I waited for Harry Potter a couple of times, actually. I waited for Goblet of Fire at Powell's on Hawthorne. That Powell's on Hawthorne. I waited outside there for Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, and I waited outside a store called The Bookworm in Kennewick, Washington. I'm sorry, in Richland, Washington, at midnight for Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. No. I got it backward. I waited outside Powell's for... No one cares. You don't care about this.
What order they're in.
You don't care about this. It's James, our afternoon board op. He cares.
James, he's been listening to a little too much like us, that one?
No, that's Chris.
Oh, okay.
That's Chris. We have two guys.
I'm confused.
There's these two board ops who work in the afternoon. The one guy named James, one guy named Chris. Chris has a girlfriend who apparently is not very pleased with him because I guess the longer he works the Like Us show, the more often he goes home and just tells her to stuff it. He just goes home and, Chris, why don't you shut it, woman? And then he just, this is Chris the other day. I think he's coming in today, actually, so we should bring him in early and ask him about this. Chris, and then I'll get back to the Harry Potter thing in a moment, because I know that everybody cares about it so deeply. Chris apparently was on the bus the other day, and
This is great. Going to condemn him in front of his girlfriend.
I don't care.
Well, she's probably not.
She's pissed at him anyway. So he's been running Lycus for a long time, and he's like a record producer on the side. And he does a lot of emo band stuff, and he was kind of he seemed sort of sensitive at one point, or just whatever. And the longer he runs the Tom Lycus show in the afternoon, I think just the more and more coarse he becomes. And apparently he was on the bus the other day, and there was some woman there. Some woman on the bus, and he was describing the woman to us later, and he goes, yeah, she was really hot, but she had kind of this disfiguring scar on one side, so I think I could probably nail it.
She had a facial tick.
So I think I could probably hit that. And then he kind of looked at me, and he didn't do anything. He just kind of went, and you'll have to imagine this look, where he kind of just gave me the look of dude, not acknowledgement, because that's where you jerk your chin up, but that slow nod of the head where it's like what I'm talking about. That guy, that nod, and which is fantastic. Now, James is a guy who works here in the afternoon, and I think is known to read a little Harry Potter fan fiction in his spare time. I waited outside the Hawthorne Powell's for Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. I waited outside a Bookworm in Richland, and how sad is that? That's like four different layers of lame. I'm in my hometown, 20,000 people, five teeth in the whole crowd, and I'm standing outside waiting for a Harry Potter book. I was waiting for the Half-Blood Prince, and then I went to 7-Eleven and ate some nachos with a fake chili that they have. Anywho, it's 503-733-2970, and I waited outside a record store. I waited outside a Sam Goody for the Metallica Black album. I think that's it. I don't think I waited for the Guns N' Roses Use Your Illusion albums. I think I got those through a radio station. I don't even remember what I was talking about. Why was I talking about waiting outside for something? Oh, the Microsoft Vista. Anyway, so Ed McCarthy's going to be here to talk about that later on. We will go to the Ministry of Truth with Scotty J, who is in for Tim Riley today. We'll have Dennis Pitzenbarger, et cetera. And I just want to touch back on this one point about your period. Here's the only reason I bring this up.
Are you looking at me?
No, I'm looking at Scotty. Scotty, let me talk about your menstrual flow for a second. No, I'm only bringing this up to say, here's the good thing. Here's why you're secretly glad that I'm crazy, is because it is like a fat person hanging out with a fatter person. It is distracting everybody from the fact that you might just be a little bit Miss Cranky Pants today. And I mean that literally. because it is not. You are preparing to enter the blood hut.
At some point.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes?
I'm stretching. Hang up.
All right. Yes?
No, I think I just got too much sleep last night, too.
Okay.
I've been going out a lot, and then not that I got, 10 hours of sleep.
All right.
Probably 9.
Because that thing happened last night that always happens.
Well, I was just being honest with you.
What thing are you referring to? Sound like we're dating sometimes.
When we were in a fight?
Yes.
When we were talking about our feelings on the phone at 9 o'clock.
As I was standing on the, and then we got a break. Last night I was calling Taylor saying, hey, Tim's not going to make it in on Tuesday because he's got this bad throw going on, and figure out what we're going to do and so forth. So I'm talking to Sarah, and I'm standing on the steps of my shrink's office. I had a late appointment. It was 8 o'clock. So I'm standing outside my shrink's office, and I'm just going on and on and on about whatever. And then we're talking, and Sarah goes, Sarah, I was a little cranky this morning. I'm kind of in that premenstrual zone. And so what did I say? I simply made speaking. See, you're allowed to be honest, and it's considered refreshing and but when I'm honest, somehow I'm an ass.
You're not supposed to validate the emotion that I'm just confessing to you that I already have.
Because here's what we're doing. When Sarah and I are talking on the phone last time, she goes, I'm sorry I was a little grumpy. I'm kind of PMS-y. And I said, oh, yeah, I kind of got that vibe off of you. She's like, you're not supposed to say that. And then, there's just, seething anger on the other end of the line that I agreed with you about something. So I'm just... I'm just saying.
Yeah, we are head cases.
It's entirely true. We'll talk more about it. Never mind. We'll talk more about it. But I don't want to get off on the whole shrink thing, because then it's just going to... Because clearly it's pointless. Where does this email... This email says, hey, Rick. Sounds like the therapy did a hell of a lot of good for you there. Yeah, keep on going. It's having bang-up results so far. Best show ever. All right. Thank you, sir. I do this thing because, shrinks, all men of the couch, and they don't have couches anymore. I think I missed that era. I think maybe that's like a Jungian analysis thing where you lay back on the sofa and the guy doesn't say anything. You just pour out your feelings or whatever, and then he writes it down, and then he just kind of goes, and then he smokes a pipe, and then you go home, and you sit on oddly
shaped
furniture.
Yeah, Wendy and I just sat in chairs. No, I sat on the couch.
See,
but there was no laying.
Are you Catholic? Well, of course you're Catholic, but I mean, are you... you haven't been actively Catholic in some time.
No.
When was the last time you went to... When is the last time you went to confession?
Oh, confession?
It has been how long since your last confession?
It was when my parents still made me, so I think it was like my senior year of high school.
Did you have a face-to-face?
I'd go to the booth. There was the option of the booth as a face-to-face, and I didn't want to do the face-to-face. Plus, I didn't tell them the truth anyway.
Oh, no, because you just lied.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's
creepy to like be talking to a middle-aged man about like my teenage escapades.
This is a game I've never played before.
Because they're all like that guy from V for Vendetta.
Oh, my child.
And you know that they're all just in there just getting off on it. I mean, you know that that's true. Does this sound familiar? Would you go in and kneel and then there's the whole... And the window opens. It's that sound. It's like a...
Hello, my child.
And then you just see the silhouette. Confession is goddamn creepy.
It's very creepy.
Hey, Scotty doesn't know this because what are you, Scotty? You're some goddamn... I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't use that. I apologize.
Are you a Protestant, Scotty?
No. Protestant. I shouldn't use that word before I discuss somebody's religion. That's... Even I know that that's wrong. You're what? You're a Protestant? Do you have confession?
No.
Well, how are you forgiven for anything? How does that work?
Well, the nice thing about this religion is you can, you know, ask.
Are you actively religious?
Do you take the kids to church on Sunday?
When is the last time you?
I really should.
Well, okay,
you
off the hangover?
Should do a lot of things. When is the last time?
Saturdays are busy.
When is the last time you went to church?
You know,
you can't even remember.
Probably a couple years ago.
So that would be no.
I have to go on Christmas. I always go.
Are you a C&E Catholic?
No, I've stopped going on Easter. Now it's just Christmas.
Fantastic. Is that just because you're with your parents?
Yes.
All right.
I do. I tell my mother exactly what I feel, but it is important
to her.
It's
tradition. No, yeah, I understand.
So I'll go for it.
So does anybody else in your family go to church? I mean, of Mrs. J and the little J's, do they go?
No, but we, you know, used to take my daughter years back.
Now, why did you stop going? Just sort of...
I think it's sheer laziness.
Well, there you go. At least you're honest. That's kind of everybody's...
Because it has been on my mind that, you know, it would be good for the children to... you know, I went all the way through ninth grade confirmation in, you know...
So if you're a Protestant, how are you forgiven for anything? So let's say, not that this would ever happen, but let's say that you were a drunkard and entertained lustful thoughts about women who were not your wife. How would you be...
And perhaps younger and Asian.
I'm not... Now, see, why do you have to bring into the realm of reality?
I was trying to keep it totally theoretical.
People
could work better with an example.
Let's just say that you've gone to many strip clubs and leered at the naked forms of women across the country.
This is hypothetical.
Yeah, right? Yeah. How would you be forgiven for that?
Basically, you just... You know, pray, you know.
To who? To God?
To God and by yourself. Just ask for forgiveness.
And that's all you have to do?
Pretty much.
So you could, can you just pray as you're leaving the strip club?
Pretty much.
You just go down, lay down dollar bills, and then you leave. You're like, well, my bad. Please forgive me now. Please be forgiving my ogling of the bosom.
Yes.
And then you get in the car, and then you're good?
Right.
Well, hell, man. That's a hell of a lot. Seriously, that's a hell of a lot easier. With Catholics, and Catholics don't talk about, if you're not a Catholic, I mean, it's just as creepy as it is in the movies. It's exactly that creepy. It's not creepy because it's all musty smelling. You go into this small little wooden booth. It's pitch black inside. There are thick velvet, like, curtains, draperies that are all dusty and just smell like old person and nursing home and ass. And, seriously, no, it just smells like the worst. And you get in there and you kneel down, and then there's a little panel that opens, and it goes... And the panel opens, and you see the silhouette of a priest, because he has a dim orange light usually behind him. You don't see his face, you see a silhouette. And then he just sits there, and he just waits. And then you have to say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been blank, how long, since my last, it has been 3 months since my last confession. And then sometimes he'll just nod, or he'll go, mm-hmm. And then you have to go,
I feel like, all right, my child. I always just remember my child, and it was very strange.
What creeps me out after all this news is the person that you're talking to could have his own...
Could have an altar boy on his lap?
Yeah. He could have his own thoughts and fantasies and whatnot.
But you go through two stages, and I know we got a break, but you go through two stages here, where when you're younger... you make stuff up because it's interesting and exciting to have stuff to confess. So when you're young, like when you go to first confession, which I think happens in like first grade, second grade, something like that, first reconciliation, they call it, which is that's the first time you go, because there's a whole ritual. You have to learn what to say, and you have to learn the call and response of being in there. And you know, they go, and so, you feel, it's kind of exciting, like it's sort of, the Catholic Church is effed up, man.
Well, see, you like anything that gives you a little bit of attention, which is why you liked it. No offense, because I didn't like it.
Seriously.
I'm awful, Pete!
me. Good to see that's changed.
You were the star of your confessional.
Seriously, I was the best confessor in my class. I had the most mortal sins of anyone in second grade. For me anyway, it was sort of, and this is why I was going to say the Catholic Church. I don't know if this conversation's interesting to anybody, but I don't care. The Catholic Church is just effed up, man, because the Catholic Church makes you... The Catholic Church makes evil so enticing. They really do. The Catholic Church makes evil so mysterious and sort of glittery and just intriguing and sort of sexy, not in the sexual sense, but I mean, just, you know, it's kind of cool and it's dark and sort of alluring because it's exciting. And so I would just, getting ready to go into confession, I would just sit there and I would just think of stuff to confess. Because it's kind of cool, you know. You're like, I'm a badass, and so I would sit there. And of course, when you're a badass, you know, when you're second grade, it's like, so I was I took the Lord's name in vain, and I was disrespectful to my parents. And then of course, you never confess
the real stuff.
You never confess the one thing that every young person needs to confess but doesn't. You never confess that, and everybody knows what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I'm referring to corralling the tadpole. No one, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay, now I do.
You, no, that's, I mean, it's like, you know what I mean? No, you, that's, what is the one thing that every teenage boy has to confess, at least in the eyes of God, who views that as a sin, but you never confess that. Why? Because you don't want to even acknowledge it. I don't have a penis. You know, you don't even want to acknowledge it. And so instead you're coming up with like, and then I tipped a girl's pigtails in the inkwell. You know, just all kinds of crap. And then they'll give you the, you know, oh, don't do it again. And you know. And
say five Hail Marys.
Say five Hail Marys. And you know, here's the thing. You look back later and you realize that that guy is just so bored. That priest, you know what it is? When that priest opens the confessional window, you know that every day, it's like, it's like playing scratch-off for that guy. For the priest, confession is like playing the lottery. Because most of the time, it's like, I'm sorry, this is not a winner. Please try again. You know, and that's me coming in and going, and then, I was not respectful. I did not honor my mother and my father. And he's just like, well, all right, go away now. And he just wants to get it over. Why? Why? Because he is waiting for the hot MILF to come in and be like, and then I've been having an affair with the gardener. A hot, steamy, passionate affair in the tool shed out back. And that's so he can pump her for details. That's what the priest is. When you're a priest, every time that window opens, every time the light goes on when you're a priest, it's a chance to hear something exciting. And it never is. It's always me, 10 years old, going, and then I cheated on a math test. And he's just like, okay, let's be done with this. Get out, my child.
You spend a lot of time on guilt. And in our religion, or at our church, rather, and if you make your mistakes, you know, are forgiven, or you apologize, rather, and you move on. You don't live your entire life trying to think of your next guilty thing.
Oh, no,
see,
no.
That's probably why we're really messed up, right? Because both of the Catholic guilt.
Oh, yeah, no, Catholics. No, well, Catholics, when you're born, you are born damned when you are a Catholic. You are born with original sin. Your default setting when you're a Catholic is that you are going to hell. That's it, man. You come into the world as damaged goods. I got lots more to say, but unfortunately, there's just no time. Damn, says everyone. It's 503-733-2970. We come back at the Ministry of Truth. Scotty Jane for Tim Riley today. Later on, Dennis Pitzenbarger, Top 5, Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy, and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Back after this. You stay right there. It's a Rick Emerson Radio program.